You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Dan Schaefer. We've got Cardi on the board bringing us the tunes, coming in and out of these breaks today. Good stuff all around. And we've joined in studio by our guest for the full 3 o'clock hour of the show, Phil Rocco of Marquette University. And we have been taking a deep dive on the piece that he wrote right before the holiday break there called Prisoners of the State, talking about some of the effects of the 2023 shared revenue law and how that's impacting some local communities. This one focused a little bit more closely on Waukesha County, my home county, where I was raised in the churches.
Cradle of eminence.
That's right. The Brookfield churches and baseball fields all over Waukesha County. That's where I was raised. But we have a caller ready to join us. Cardi, is Tom from L.A. joining us on the show here?
Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Dan. First, thanks for what you do with the Recombobulation Area. And I just wanted to give an idea that I think would be a great story for you guys to write, either on the Recombobulation Area or one of your writers, because you've had a couple, Lang yesterday, and you have the gentleman today. But an article called Legacy of Teachers, and actually do a deep dive into the number of people whose parents were in teaching, but now their kids are not going in teaching in the state of Wisconsin. I have eight brothers and sisters, including in-laws, that were all teachers. And when Act 10 happened and when all of that went down with Scott Walker, and I have a sister as a cop in Madison, and when all that went down, basically, even if the kids wanted to go into teaching, they chose not to, and they went into the private sector. And I think there's a really interesting article that could be written there about that. And, it also goes along, of course, with the financing that you guys are talking about, versus the state versus the local and all that stuff. But I think it'd be a really good article. You could call it Legacy of Teachers, or a book even. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah. And, in the journalism world where I come from, if you come up with the idea, you're the one writing it.
Yeah, you have
so
to.
Tom, you gave yourself an assignment there. A good pitch for the Recombobulation Area. Maybe you could write it. But I think that's a good point.
Well, no. There is also like a huge amount of social science evidence on the, decline in the sort of attractiveness of teaching in states that,
are hostile to
essentially
teachers.
Essentially hostile to teachers in the teaching profession. And that supports exactly what Tom is saying. But I like that because that is sort of the human side that we should probably be leading with when we talk about budgets, right? I think that budgetary politics is super interesting. Every time I try to convince my students of this, their eyes glaze over. And I think the problem is I call it budgetary politics, right?
Yeah.
It's just like the politics of stuff that you need and take for granted, right? It's like, ultimately, at the end of the day, any sort of public service that is provided, somebody has to come up with the budget for that. Somebody has to pay for it. And somebody has to decide how much of a good thing is enough. And I think that we don't tend to talk. I think particularly in Wisconsin, like moving here, I moved here like 8 years ago, and I found our budget process to be a bit cryptic. And, I would have to like listen to the old Wisconsin Politics podcast that used to be on WPR, RIP.
Or spend a lot of time on Wisconsin or whatever
just,
it might be.
Yeah, you just have to like, and the thing is, you shouldn't have to become a nerd to get into this, because this affects everybody.
Right.
Like, we should not be delegating these responsibilities to the nerds. But it is. And I think that that's such a good way of evoking it, is like, does somebody actually go into public service, occupation, teaching? Is it providing this essential thing that we need to make society work? That is back of a budgetary decision government makes.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes in Wisconsin, it's intentional to make this budget process obscure, or, the one I'm thinking of right now is like in the last round of the budget, the Joint Finance Committee, which essentially writes the budget, right?
The legislature within the legislature.
That's another Phil Rocco piece that could happen too. Yes. But they had a vote on a number of key issues for the state budget this past year that was held in the middle of the night. And yep. So like the, you know, I was covering a lot of things about childcare at the time. There was a real need for additional childcare funding in the state budget. And not only did they not put any money for it into the state budget, any additional funds for childcare in the state budget, they had that vote on it at 2:30 in the morning.
And if you watch the way that JFC strips provisions from the budget, there's not a lot of ceremony or debate or deliberation. They're like, yep, we're moving on. We're just stripping that one out. It's like, and so it's, you know, for the person who believes that there's actually like reasoned deliberation going on in these things, there really often is not. But I think that comes back to the way that these sort of decisions about shared revenue. It's not as if the Waukesha County executive and others from around the state weren't there in Madison in 2023 saying that this money wasn't enough. They were. Paul Farrow was at the hearings that they actually did have on Act 12.
He provided testimony.
He's like, he essentially called them out. He said, so I'll paraphrase, but he said, you know, this is not, you're calling this historic, but are we giving counties and municipalities what they needed? And is the approach to this a fair one? And I think the conflict, and I think one of the most interesting features of like why Waukesha County got so little funding and why many counties got less than perhaps they needed was, you know, there's this very convoluted formula. And one of the parts of the formula, it basically is, you know, calculates, you know, based on aidable revenues and all these things that counties might need aid on. And then, and so like under that part of the formula, I think Waukesha County would have gotten something like $4 million a year. And then there's another part of the formula that says counties under this part can't get more than $50 million total, all counties.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the next part of the formula is you have to prorate all of the sums that counties would have gotten. So that shaves off, you know, at least $500,000, maybe more to Waukesha County. So it's not a question of like, oh, we couldn't figure out the math. It's a question of like, the state legislature did not want to spend this money. Why did they not want to spend it? Probably because, I mean, my guess is that they were saving that surplus because they wanted to do a tax cut and probably a tax cut that had upwardly redistributive effects.
Well, their one economic policy that the Republicans have in Wisconsin is just they over and over again, they just wanted to stop everything else and just hit that one economic policy button of tax cuts that overwhelmingly benefit the wealthiest Wisconsinites.
And I think that's the thing is that like tax policy to some extent is discussed completely apart from all of the other social policy that the state does. And, you know, are there places where a tax credit, tax rebate, tax cut might be a useful policy tool to do the thing that we want to do collectively as citizens of this state? Maybe. But that's never put into conversation with all of the other things that actually we need to do. And I think that often it is assumed that government could just continue to do more, continue to produce the services people want them to provide with less. That we could, we could have buses that take people to the jobs that they need to get to, where they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Something like last mile kind of connection. Well, sure, but not without, a prodigious amount of money to fund public transportation.
Right. You don't do more with less. You do less with less. You do. That's how it works.
I don't know of a single place in which the do more with less principle actually works. It's always just a little bit of a sleight of hand.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, Phil Rocco is our guest for the hour here on the Maggie Don Show. I'm your guest host. My name is Dan Schaefer. We've been talking about shared revenue and how that 2023 law is impacting communities across the state, in particular Waukesha County. And now, Cardi, do we have a caller ready to join us next here?
Yes, we do. Second, let's bring him on the line. Second caller. Richard Marks.
All right, cool. Richard, welcome to the Maggie Don Show.
Phil, I'm wondering if you realize that a lot of the Waukesha County local small municipalities, you know, they raised the footage size of the buildings of homes, which in a sense raised the taxes.
I had not heard of real estate.
Yeah, I talked to numerous people in small communities, and they didn't realize that, you know, like a lot of the cities and small areas, through the years, they raised square footage size, which raises the value of the home.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the interesting things about Waukesha County, just in general, is it's, I think, in terms of property value, is among, if not the, like, highest per capita property value in the state.
Yeah, yeah. And when people make those additions to their homes, they get those assessments right. from their local municipality. And like you were mentioning earlier in the show, Wisconsin municipalities, more than just about any other state in the country, are really reliant on those property taxes. So this stuff is all connected, right?
Absolutely.
So Richard, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. And so I think these things are all connected. So when you're upset about, you know, maybe an increase in your property tax bill, whatever it might be, just remember that it's not the city that you live in are not making those decisions in a vacuum. There are some complexity to this. And that's not to say that you shouldn't, you know, hold your local government accountable efficiently spending the money that they do receive through property taxes. What I'm saying is that you need to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture here is that the state of Wisconsin, under Republican control, is sitting on a $4.6 billion surplus as your property taxes are going up, as county and municipal services are being cut. And, you know, for pretty much all of 2024, the Republican-controlled Wisconsin state legislature was doing nothing about it. And they basically are a part-time legislature, even though they draw a full-time salary, and they work, they have a campaign year, and then they have a budget year. Well, they just finished their campaign year, and now we're headed towards a budget year. So I think it is very important to take a look at what they are going to do with that $4.6 billion. Are they going to, you know, help out the counties and municipalities that need it, that clearly needed more than what they gave them in the shared revenue law? Or are they going to do like what we were talking about, hit the one economic policy button and give a big tax cut away to the wealthiest Wisconsinites?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big ways into this conversation is asking the question, which I think at some point after you continue to be told no, you stop asking for the things that you need. And in a way, you can habituate yourself to not doing with those services. But there are all kinds of things that we can do to make the communities that we live in better. And, you know, is it programming at libraries? Is it ensuring that, you know, the transit lines get people to where they need to be? Is it taking care of our public parks? You know, all kinds of things. Is it expanding Badger Care and to become one of the states, like a majority of states that have, you know, taken Medicaid expansion? Those are all like very real needs, and they get put off the table when we just sort of treat this as like this is just a game of dividing the dollar. Mm-hmm. and kind of making quote unquote budget policy. This is policy that affects every kind of service that government might provide and that we actually are owed.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I always say is that democracy does not happen from the top down. It happens from the bottom up. And so you can get involved in what's happening in your local government. You can get involved in what's happening in the state government. And those decisions really have a profound impact on your day-to-day life. Phil's going to stick with us for one more segment here as we finish up the show this afternoon on the Maggie Don Show. Lots to discuss, lots going on. If you want to join the conversation, we are at 855-752-4842. And we'll be right back.